If you'd like to follow along with me as I read from God's holy word, you can turn to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, the end of chapter 3 is where we'll pick up. Paul has been making his argument that the apostles are ministers of a new covenant and that it is only in Christ that the veil can be taken away, that we might come to turn to the Lord and see. And so in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he concludes with, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we've renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statements of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel's veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what's been written, 'I believed and so I spoke,' we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that his grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." May God richly bless this portion of his word to us. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we come this night as your children because we want to see. You say that you have shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we would see him more clearly. And by your grace, we would love him more dearly. And so, Lord, we pray, bless your word to us that we might be encouraged by it and made strong by it. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 4:16 expresses something everybody here this evening wants to experience. Paul says, "We do not lose heart, though our outer self is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day." There's something here nobody wants and something here everybody wants. Nobody here this evening wants to lose heart. Nobody came in here tonight saying, I sure hope we sing some songs. I sure hope we hear a sermon that helps me lose heart. I really want to be discouraged tonight by what the pastor says. Not one of us. Nobody wants the heart for living knocked out of them. And neither did Paul. On the contrary, everybody wants inner renewal day by day. We all know that feeling of strength and newness and hope and vitality and courage and zest for life lasts for a little while, and then they tend to drain away. If we're going to be strong on the inside and have hope and joy and resources to love, we're going to have to be renewed day by day. We know that. Life's not static. It's not unfluctuating. It's up and it's down and it's up and it's down. It's fill and deplete and fill again. It's renew, expend, renew, expend, renew, expend. Every one of us wants the power of renewal. Nobody here tonight wants to be left in the valley of depletion or the valley of emptiness or the valley of discouragement. If there is a secret to being made strong, if there's a secret to being made hopeful and joyful and loving again and again and again, day by day, we're interested. This means that there are two words in this text tonight that should get our attention. The word therefore at the beginning of verse 16 and the word for at the beginning of verse 17. The word therefore at the beginning of verse 16, you can picture verse 16 as the top of a triangle with two sides that are supporting it. So there is our longing to be supported by these two lines. We don't lose heart, but our inner person is being renewed day by day. That's what we all want this evening, to be able to say that. We don't lose heart, but our inner person is being renewed day by day. And we all here this evening want to mean it, because it is our experience. We don't lose heart, but are renewed day by day. The word therefore at the front of verse 16 means that Paul's been saying some things that lead him to this experience. He's been saying some things that also support him in it. This is true, and this is true, and this is true, Paul is saying in verses 7 through 15. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we are being renewed day by day. So the first line of the triangle that supports this experience, the first line of the triangle is the truth of verses 7 to 15. And that should get our attention. And it should send us hunting in those verses for what it is. Maybe it's meant to. Then there's the word for at the beginning of verse 17. And it means that Paul is about to say some things that are the reason for verse 16. We do not lose heart. We are renewed day by day, for, because this is true, and this is true, and this is true. So the second line of the triangle coming down on the other side is the truth of verses 17 and 18 that support the experience he just described in verse 16. Support the experience of not losing heart, but being renewed day by day. So can you see it now? The experience we long for is sitting there on the point of this triangle with two supporting sides. Verses 7 through 15 are true. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but are renewed day by day. That's one side. We do not lose heart, but are renewed day by day, for verses 17 and 18 are true. So our aim then is to look at the two sides of this triangle and make the truth that sustained Paul the truth that sustains us. But first, one brief observation. Verse 16 acknowledges that not losing heart and being renewed day by day are happening in the midst of suffering. We do not lose heart, but though our outer person, our outer self, or outer nature is decaying or wasting away, our inner person, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Paul knew he was dying and that everybody is dying. Paul experienced tremendous suffering, and in it he saw the decay. And in it he saw the wasting away of his earthly life. There were weaknesses. There were sicknesses, there were injuries and hardships and pressures and frustrations and disappointments, and every one of them cost him a piece of his life. One way to say it was that death was at work in him. Verse 12. That was the context for saying we don't lose heart. We're always being renewed. So what we're really asking now is not just how can I not lose heart in life and how can I be renewed day by day, but how can I prepare to suffer without losing heart? How can I accept the decaying of my body and the ebbing away of my earthly life and at the same time not lose heart, but find renewed inner strength to go on with joy to the end with acts of love? Now we're ready to see Paul's answer to this question, first in verses 7 through 15, and then in verses 17 and 18. So four reasons not to lose heart, verses 7 to 15, four reasons at least that Paul can conclude in 16 and say, therefore we do not lose heart. And every one of these reasons takes into account the decaying of his earthly life. Paul never loses sight that he's a dying man and that his life is being spent. So what he's doing in these verses is showing what is true in spite of, listen, and even because his outer nature is decaying. His outer nature is wasting away. First, though his outer nature is decaying, in and through this suffering, God's power and the life of God's Son are being manifested and glorified. Verse 7, we have this treasure in clay pots or jars of clay or earthen vessels. That is, decaying, weak, outer persons. Why? That the surpassing greatness of the power of God may be manifest, not from ourselves. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because God's power is exalted in our weakness. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. That's another aspect of the decaying of the outer man, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because the life of God's Son is exalted in our daily dying. Verse 11, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because the life of God's Son is manifested and glorified in our decaying bodies. So the first reason Paul doesn't lose heart as his outer nature decays is that in his weakness and his daily dying for the sake of others, God's power and the life of God's Son are glorified. And that's what Paul loves more than anything. Second, though his outer nature is decaying in and through this suffering, life is flowing from him to the church. Christians are being strengthened by Paul's weakening. Verse 12, so death is at work in us, but life in you. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because not only is God being glorified, but you, Paul says to the church, my loved ones are receiving life and strength and hope. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people through Paul's suffering for them may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because, and notice how verse 15 puts the first two reasons together, because in my ministry of suffering, Grace is spreading to you, and the glory is going to God. These are the two great loves of Paul's life, bringing grace to others and bringing glory to God. And this verse says they happen in the very same experience. And therefore, Paul does not lose heart. Third, though his outer nature is decaying in and through this suffering, God sustains him and does not let him be overcome. Verses 8 and 9, notice in each of these pairs what he's really saying is, yes, our outer nature is decaying, but no, we don't lose heart. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because God sustains us and does not let us be overcome finally. Fourth, though Paul's outer nature is decaying, he will be raised from the dead with the church and be with Jesus. Verse 14, we know that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Therefore, we do not lose heart, because it's going to be all right. Not even death can make the story have a bad ending. I'm going to live again, and I'm going to live with you, the people that I love. And I'm going to live with Jesus and share his glory with you forever and ever. Therefore, that's the first line of the triangle, verses 7 to 15, that supports the great experience of not losing heart, but being renewed every day. I'm being renewed because God's power and the life of God's Son are being manifested and glorified in my decaying weakness. Two, I'm being renewed because life is flowing from my suffering into the church that I love so much. I'm being renewed because God sustains me in my suffering and does not let me be overcome by it. Number four, I'm being renewed because I know I will be raised from the dead with you and with Jesus to live together forever and ever. Therefore, I do not lose heart. So that's the first supporting line of the triangle of experience of not losing heart but being renewed. And now let's look at the verses 17 and 18, the other line of the triangle. He doesn't lose heart, and he's being renewed day by day because verses 17 and 18 are also true. And again, there's four reasons for Paul's not losing heart in spite of his decaying outer man, despite his weaknesses, despite his sicknesses, his injuries, and his hardships. Number one, he doesn't lose heart because he considers his affliction momentary. A momentary affliction in verse 17. It doesn't mean it lasts 60 seconds. It means it only lasts a lifetime. It only lasts a lifetime, which is momentary compared with the million ages of millennia that is to come. The word means present. The present afflictions that I'm experiencing, these afflictions will not outlive this present life. They won't. I do not lose heart, for my afflictions will certainly come to an end. They will not have the last say. Not now, not ever. Secondly, Paul doesn't lose heart because he considers his affliction light. Momentary light. This is not the judgment of a comfortable modern American. This is Paul's own judgment. And Paul, when he says this, isn't forgetting what he's going to say later in 2 Corinthians 11, where he talks about far more labors and far more imprisonments and being beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, he says later in chapter 11, there's the daily pressure upon me of my concern for all the churches. When Paul says his afflictions are light, doesn't mean they're easy. When Paul says his afflictions are light, he doesn't mean they're painless. He means that compared to what is coming, they are as nothing. Compared to the weight, light, weight of glory coming, they're like feathers in the scale. As he says elsewhere in Romans 8, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. And so Paul says, I don't lose heart because my afflictions are light compared to the eternal weight that is coming. Thirdly, he does not lose heart, for his affliction itself is actually producing for him an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And I'm going to repeat that line because it's so important that we understand that it's what God is using to actually cause the fruit. He does not lose heart because his affliction is actually producing the eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Verse 17, this slight or light momentary affliction is producing for us. The affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What is coming to Paul is not momentary. What's coming is eternal. What is coming to Paul is not light. It's weighty. And what Paul knows is coming is not affliction, but glory. And it's beyond all comprehension. As he said earlier in 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen nor ear heard what God's prepared for those who love him. And the point is not that the afflictions merely precede the glory. They actually help produce it. There's a real causal connection between how we endure hardship now and how much we will be able to enjoy the glory of God in the ages to come. Not one moment of patient pain is wasted. Not one moment of patient pain is meaningless. It's not meaningless. He says, I don't lose heart, for all my troubles are producing for me an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Fourthly, Paul doesn't lose heart because he sets his mind on the unseen eternal glory to come. Verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. God might offer you all the glory in the universe to keep you from losing heart and to renew your soul day by day. But if you never looked at it, nothing would come of it. In fact, that is precisely what God's doing right now in this text, in this sermon. It is a lavish invitation from God for you to look at all the reasons why you don't have to lose heart. All the reasons why you can be renewed day by day. God in this passage is calling us to look, to look, to look. He's calling us as his children, his beloved ones. He's saying, look, the power of God and the life of his Son are revealed in your weakness, because it's his power, not your own. Look, he commands us. The life of Jesus is flowing through our suffering into the lives of other people. Look, the Lord commands us, I will sustain you in all your afflictions, and you will not let you be destroyed by them or overcome by them. Look, he tells us, your afflictions won't have the last word. You will rise from the dead with Jesus and with the church of God and live in joy forever and ever and ever. Look, he calls us, your afflictions are momentary. They are only for now, not for the age to come. Look, he calls us, your afflictions are actually light compared to the pleasures of what's coming. There is nothing. Look, look. These afflictions are producing for you an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. They're not meaningless. They're not wasted. Not one nanosecond. So God calls us in this passage to look, to focus, to meditate, to think on these things, to preach these truths to ourselves, that our hearts might sing with a confidence that God is who he says he is, that he'll do exactly what he says he'll do for us, that we might not lose heart, but our inner person will in fact be renewed day by day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's